Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for truly being a prayer answering God. And we can all testify to many prayers answered in your kindness. Lord, please do speak to us tonight in your word. Shepherd us as your flock. Please feed us and strengthen us. And please may your word give us peace. In Jesus' name we ask. Tonight I want us to celebrate and to marvel together at the wonder of the Holy Spirit, our God and Saviour. And to celebrate and to marvel at the mysterious and powerful saving work of the Holy Spirit. The key truth I want you to hear is the ministry of the gospel is the glorious ministry of the Holy Spirit changing hearts. The ministry of the gospel is the glorious ministry of the Holy Spirit changing hearts. What the Lord does through the gospel is he transforms fallen, broken, sinful people into beautiful, glorious, new creations, restored to God's image. Transformed into holy, truly alive and loving men and women of God. He really does set us free from the bondage, the slavery of sin, the misery of trying to do what's good and not being able to, and of not wanting to do evil but doing it, from being guilty and condemned before God. And he works deep in our hearts and brings us into the glorious liberty of becoming the children of God, forgiven and accepted and loved and reconciled. He fundamentally remakes us from the inside out. God remakes and renews the human heart. At the level of our desires and longings, at the level of our inner thoughts, sort of thinking within, God, the great creator of the universe, can transform our empty, selfish hearts and fill them with love, joy, and peace. The ministry of the gospel is the glorious ministry of the Holy Spirit who changes hearts. That is Paul's great point in this passage of chapter 3 of this letter. That the ministry of the gospel is not just the outward practice of religion. It's not just the ritual or liturgy or changing people's habits and actions. It's even more than teaching people the truth and education. The gospel is not about changing how we live and worship a little. No, God changes our hearts. And it is what the Holy Spirit performs. He's the one who changes us through the ministry of the gospel. So when the gospel is being preached and proclaimed and shared, the Holy Spirit is at work in people's hearts. Now that is the all-important truth that Paul is communicating in this chapter. If you look with me at verse 3, you'll see he speaks of the ministry of the gospel as the writing of the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And then he makes the same point in verse 6 in a slightly different way. The ministry of the new covenant is not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And then he says the same thing in an extended comparison. In verse 15, he speaks about a veil that is on unbelieving hearts. But when, verse 16, someone turns to the Lord, the veil on the heart is taken away. And verse 17, the Lord is the Spirit. And so verse 18, we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another by the Spirit of the Lord. So again and again, he's telling us the same thing through the ministry of the gospel, through the good news of Christ preached and proclaimed, as and when he pleases, the Holy Spirit works a miraculous change in people's hearts. As we try to understand and learn something more about this amazing work of the Spirit in our hearts and in other people's hearts, as we unpack this passage, I hope, in the weeks ahead, I just hope and pray you're going to be filled with joy, with just wonder at how amazing this is as you think about the Spirit's presence and power in our lives. But before we look at the passage in more detail, there is one very important, absolutely important thing for us to see. That the work of the Holy Spirit is the work of the one triune God. Lest we go wrong in our thinking. When the scripture speaks about the Holy Spirit, it speaks of him in terms of the unity of the whole Trinity, the whole Godhead. Look again at verse 3. You are an epistle, a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Christ, Spirit, and God. The three persons of the Godhead. And their work, you can't draw lines between it. It's indivisible. God is, of course, beyond our comprehension. He's infinitely great beyond our finding out. But he is revealed. He's the glorious one who is three. Three who are one, and one in this saving work. God the Father, Son, and Spirit. One in substance and being, and equal in power and glory. And the one God is never divided or separated. So although we will look at Paul's emphasis on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, at the back of your mind, you must always be thinking of him as the one God, trying our best to hold together revealed truth one and three. How great is the living God. If we look at verses 1 to 3 tonight, as Paul begins to open up to us the ministry of the Spirit, his point to us here is that true, genuine gospel ministry is this ministry of the Holy Spirit changing hearts. This is surely what he's saying. The mark of authentic gospel ministry is it is one where the Spirit changes hearts. In verse 1, Paul asks whether he needs a letter of commendation, a letter of recommendation. Now, letters of introduction, like the ones he's referring to, they would have been so important in the times of the scriptures. Of course, you know, there's no telephone, there's no internet, so there's no easy way to get a reference about someone. So a traveling preacher could show up one Sunday. How do you know he's to be trusted? How do you let him anywhere near the pulpit? You would depend on a letter of recommendation from a church and a trusted authority that says, yes, he is a true minister. There is perhaps a kind of example of this letter in 3 John in the scriptures. And Paul's saying, do I need a letter like that to be received by you, the Corinthians? Because again, remember the difficulty that Paul's got with the Corinthian church. There's a faction in the church that's taken against Paul, and they refuse to recognize him as an apostle and a minister. That Paul, he's not real, he's not genuine. And so they've unsettled the whole church, and many are seemingly doubting Paul. And of course the great danger is if they reject Paul, they're rejecting Christ. Because to reject a true apostle and his gospel and replace it with another would be to turn from the only thing that can save them. And Paul's writing this letter to reconcile with them, to draw them back to himself. And of course, to make matters worse, you know that there's this other new group of preachers muscling in on his territory, preaching a different gospel. And Paul will address them more directly later. It seems reasonable to infer from this verse that this other new group, they had some kind of letters of recommendation. So, some others, he says, who've got recommendation. Maybe somebody in the Jerusalem church was supporting them. Maybe they were forgeries, who knows. But the point is, you see, is that these outsiders, they looked so impressive. They've got the right credentials. We've already seen they were strong and charismatic, and the references, you could say, check out. They've got letters behind their names. They look like the real deal. And Paul? He's got no letters to back him up. He's this weak, sickly, persecuted tent maker. Is he really going to be the guy that God uses? Where's the glory? So how's Paul answering them and this need for recommendation? He says, look, the real proof, the real mark that I'm Christ's and this is Christ's ministry is the presence of the Spirit changing people's hearts. True gospel ministry is authenticated. It is known by the Holy Spirit changing hearts. Now in these opening verses, he means this in two senses. He speaks about his own heart and about theirs, about the change in them. In verse 2, he speaks first about what God has done in his own heart. He says, this is my letter of commendation. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Now, what does he mean? He's saying, look at the love and the care that I have had for you. Me and my fellow ministers, Titus and maybe Timothy or others. God has put a love and a care for you in our hearts, a burden for you. And it's so evident, it can be seen openly. It is manifested, is actually the word he uses. It's manifested. You can see it in our words and actions. That's the proof of my calling. Look at my life. Given sacrificially to serve you, Corinthians, to bring you the word of God. He's saying, look, my life is my letter. It's written all over my face. And my anguish for you as you're going wrong. And you hear in my words my deep love for you. My commendation is I'd do anything to bring Christ to you. Do you not see my loving heart for you? He says, look, this is my commendation, not some flimsy piece of paper. He's already spoken in the letter about his prayers for them, his joy in them, his tears for them. He's spoken about his abounding love for them, his boundary-busting love. Later on in the letter, he's going to explain that he refused to be paid by them or financially supported by them because he knew that that would actually cause them difficulties and give his enemies an excuse to criticize him. And he says, look, if I was just in it for the money, why would I have done that? In fact, he says, look, I've deliberately got support from other churches. I've kind of robbed them so I can serve you. And he speaks about enduring beatings, and shipwrecks, hunger, and sleepless nights so he can minister to them. So there's the authentic proofs of his ministry. It's in his love for them, coming from this heart that's been transformed by Christ. This coming from the same man who once so despised Gentiles as a Pharisee. He was just as zealous traveling the length and breadth of Israel to hunt down Christians in this dangerous thing. He would once have never even sat down with the Corinthians. And now he gives everything for them. But he also refers to the great change in their hearts. He says, verse 3, that they are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, by Paul and his co-workers, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. He means the great change that God made in their lives when they were born again and they became Christians. He says, look, I came to Corinth, I preached the gospel, and you were saved. The Spirit of God wrote on your hearts. When I came to you, God changed you. That's the proof of my calling. You yourselves are the fruit of my ministry. You were turned from serving dead idols to worship the living God. As he said in 1 Corinthians, some of you were homosexuals, you were covetous, you were revilers, you were drunks and you were thieves. But through my ministry, you are now the holy people of God. He says, that's my letter of recommendation. You, the change in you. How can I be a fraud if you were actually saved and changed through my ministry? You see, the great principle he's arguing out here is, by my fruit you will know me. Of course, he gives all the glory and the credit to God. He says it was a ministry through Paul, by Paul, through Paul. God did it. God saved. God changed them. And I was the tool, I was the means and the instrument. He says this great change in them was not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. Paul is building towards something here. In the next section, he goes on to compare the old covenant with the new. Before Christ, the law of God was written on tablets of stone. And now the great change is the law of God is written on human hearts. And he will explain this in the next section that, God willing, I hope we will come to in future weeks. But he's saying, look, you know, the law given by Moses was good and holy, but outside of us, it just condemns us. It can teach us right and wrong, but it does not give us the power to do it. But the wonderful good news of the gospel is Christ transforms our relationship to the law. He has died in our place to satisfy the law and remove that condemnation. And Christ, through the Spirit, now fills us with new power and new love to keep the law. He writes it on our hearts. And Paul's saying, this is the great transformation God made in you, Corinthians. Turn from your sins to godliness, from rebellion against God to love God, from sin to righteousness, to God's law. And of course, as you've heard from Jeremiah or Ezekiel this morning, this is the great promise the prophets were looking to. And after generation, they saw Israel sin and fail to walk with God. And they promised this new covenant, a better one, which God would transform people from the inside out. So there's the glory, not from the outside to work in, as it was with the temple and the face of Moses. No, no, the glory is from the outside in, hearts change. So this is my proof. Here's my credentials, says Paul. You want something in writing? Well, then look at the writing on your heart. Look at what Christ has written there. Authentic gospel ministry is known by the Holy Spirit changing people's hearts. So what practical conclusions do we draw from this passage? Well, first and foremost, there is a great change when someone truly becomes a Christian. Becoming a Christian is much more than being one outwardly. It's much more than practicing the Christian religion. It's about more than the prayers or the creed, good as all these things are. Even more than believing the right things in our heads. We could be orthodox and agree with the truth and for all that not be a genuine Christian. A real Christian has their heart changed by the Spirit of God. That deep within, the Lord writes on their heart. And there is this new love for God, a new power to do his will, a search and thirst for holiness. And it is for sure an ongoing change. We will not be perfect this side of heaven, but it is a real change deep within and affects everything. Christ conquers the heart. And his people love him and they obey him. So this passage is all about being proved authentic. So examine yourself. Has your heart really been changed? Have you really had an encounter with the Spirit of God? Has he written on your sinful, stony heart? Are you being transformed from glory to glory? Is it manifest? Is it evident and visible to others? Am I an epistle of Christ? Well, pray God would truly change your heart. Your whole way of thinking, your feelings, your affections, because that's genuine Christianity. But secondly, we learn what makes for a real authentic ministry. If Paul is our example, as he is all the way through this letter, then a true gospel minister must love the church. There must be a deep, heart-changed love for God's people that shows itself in a willingness to put aside a person's own needs and serve sacrificially. But you can widen this to everyone who's in ministry to others, whether you're an elder or in some other position or teaching Sunday school or you're going to give food, or is there a genuine Christ-like love written on your heart? As you see in Paul, Do you know something of what Paul means when he speaks about his anguish and tears for others? Do you pray for others as he did? Do you long to do them good? What is your motive? Because if we have not love, we are like a rusty clanging bell. The mark of genuine Holy Spirit filled ministry is you yourself must have a changed heart from darkness to light, and it will be seen in love. You will love. So when whatever you seek to do in ministry is that mark there, is it evident and visible to all men? Is it the aroma and the impression and the manner of your ministry? But also, a true ministry will have fruit. By their fruits you will know them. Our lives being transformed by the Spirit of God. And by that, I don't mean it's not about numbers. It's not about popularity. It's not about instant overnight results, which would probably be fraudulent. It's not about outwardly looking good or having great skills and gifts or charisma. But is the Holy Spirit at work? Our lives being changed from glory to glory? Not what do we have written on paper, but people. Do you hear what I'm saying? Are people coming to know Christ and growing to be like him? We will only be fulfilling our ministry as God's people if that is the fruit. Do we see this as a church? Is it the fruit of our individual labors? Do we need to humble ourselves before God? Because there should be more. A true ministry will be fruitful. Authentic gospel ministry is evidenced by the work of the Holy Spirit changing hearts. But finally, we should rejoice if God has given us that gift of a new heart. We should rejoice if God the Spirit has so blessed us, if that miracle has graciously come to us and saved us from ourselves, if we've experienced the beginning of that mystery and wonder of his heart surgery, that God dwells with us and is patiently changing us and disciplining us and loving us and is chipping away at us and our hearts of stone until we'll be made in his image. How we should rejoice that we are being made glorious. We will not recognize our future selves. We will be glorious in Christ. We might not be all we want to be, but we're also surely not what we once were, thanks to this ministry of the Holy Spirit. So let's thank and praise him and rejoice and celebrate this amazing work. In preparing, I came across an account of a man called Dr. Christian Bernard, and he was the first surgeon to ever do a real heart transplant. And I came across a story how he took one of his recovering patients to go and see his old heart. And he took him to a cupboard, he took down a glass container and he handed it to this man, and inside that container was this man's old heart. And it says that for a moment he stood there in stunned silence, the first man in history ever to hold his own heart in his hands. And then finally he spoke, and for 10 minutes plied him with questions. Then he took one final look at the contents of the container and said, "So this is my old heart that caused me so much trouble." And he handed it back, he turned away and left it forever. And we can rejoice if we are in Christ and we can say, "Do you know what was really my problem all along? It was my old heart. It was me. That I didn't know God. And I was sinful. But praise God, that old heart's been taken from us. And we are being transformed from glory to glory." So let's rejoice in this wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. O Lord in heaven, we would sing your praises. Thank you, O Lord, for this gift of a new heart. Thank you for freeing us from the prison of sin. Thank you for setting us free from ourselves and our own sinful lusts. Thank you for setting us free from our ignorance and darkness. Thank you for the light of the gospel that's shone deep within us and shown us your glory. Thank you, Lord, for your patient work within us, changing us and how we think and feel. Oh, Lord, thank you for this wondrous ministry that you write on our hearts. You give us new hearts to love you. Lord, we praise and bless you and thank you for this great salvation. Oh, Lord, hasten and increase this work within us, we pray. Make us more ready for glory. Burn away, Lord, every sinful thought and impulse. Dwell in us and make our hearts pure. Lord, may this work of writing your law within us grow every day as we humbly thank you for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.